He's been in Argentina since 1986. So I had the privilege of growing up there in the country of Argentina. I would appreciate your prayers for the country of Argentina. Argentina is going through a really, really tough time economically right now. In Argentina, we're going through hyperinflation. So for example, if you buy something Monday by Friday, it has a different price. Argentina is a very, very socialist country, and they recently voted in another socialist president, and this man is just trying to change everything really fast. He's all for the LGBT rights, and he recently approved abortion free and legal in Argentina in December. So now you can go to any hospital, private or public, and you can get an abortion for free in Argentina. So this is really sad. It's really sad to see how the socialist movement has destroyed the country of Argentina. Argentina was a rich country in the 1950s. And then the socialist movement started and it all went downhill. Today we have entire states where 85% of the people are depending on the government to live and to eat. So it's really sad to see this. Also, Argentina is a little bit of a dangerous country. My family and I, we've been robbed, I would say, over like 25 times in our house. You know, one of the last times that we were robbed, we had three doors in the front. We had three doors in the back. We had two sets of bars in each window. We had a wire on top of the house with electricity. We had cameras. And we also had a Rottweiler. And the last time that we were robbed, we had these men that drilled a hole in the back wall of our house. And that's how they got in. So Argentina is a little bit dangerous. I've had people just point guns and knives at me, going out soul winning. I've had to run many, many times down there in Argentina. Let me tell you a quick story. One night we were going to sleep, and it was around midnight. And we hear these men that were trying to come in through the roof of our house. You know, they try to come in through the roof, and we have bars in our chimney too, so they were trying to come in through the roof of our house, and my dad got really scared. I got really scared. We didn't know what to do. So my dad just decides to open the window and start screaming at the guys that were trying to come in. My dad starts screaming at my mom, "Ruth, Ruth, get the gun." And my mom screams back, "What gun? We don't have one." You know, The guys started laughing, and one fell off the roof. So the one that fell off the roof broke the ladder and everything. So that was a blessing that night. We weren't robbed, amen. But we still love Argentina. We love serving there, and that's where the Lord has called us, and we want to respond to that calling. Argentina has a great need. You know, 44 million people, 80% of the Argentines consider themselves to be Roman Catholics. And the Catholic people, they have a national holiday. The 8th of December is called Virgin's Day, where people from all over the country will go to the northern state of Catamarca. And to get to Catamarca from where we're serving the Lord, Tucumán, there's 150 miles. People will walk for 150 miles all the way there. There they have a big statue of Mary, and they do that every year. The craziest thing is that people walk on their knees for 150 miles. It takes about a week and a half to 2 weeks for them to do that. And they do that so they would get a miracle from Virgin Mary. But it's sad because these people don't know the truth. These people need somebody that would come and tell them about Jesus Christ, that Jesus died on the cross for them. One day I was soul winning. I was able to talk to a lady, Roxana, a Catholic lady, that her family was just destroyed. Her husband had left her. Her kids were alcoholics. And Roxana got saved that day. And you know, God just changed her life completely. She started coming to our church, started growing in the Lord. Her family got back together. Her kids are not drinking anymore. They're serving the Lord in our church today. One of her older kids is going to our Bible college. He wants to be a pastor now. So just like Roxana, there's a lot of Catholic people in Argentina. There's a lot of people in Argentina that have never heard the gospel before. So we want to go back to the country. We want to go back to the northern part of the country, about 16 hours north of the capital city. And we want to start churches there in Argentina. So I would appreciate your prayers for us, that we can raise our support as quick as possible. I thank the Lord that we were able to grow up in Argentina. We know the language. We know the culture. We know the people. So as soon as we can raise our support, we're going to go back to Argentina, and we're going to start churches there. So I would appreciate your prayers. We're praying right now for four cities that need that first Baptist church preaching the gospel. One of these cities has over 100,000 people without a single church preaching the gospel. So thank you so much for praying. Thank you so much, Pastor, for having us today. Thank you for this opportunity to share the ministry. And thank you, church, for allowing us to be here today. Thank you so much for the room there. If you would open your Bibles to the book of Lamentations, and we will be reading chapter 3 of the book of Lamentations. Chapter 3. Chapter 3 of the book of Lamentations. And let me tell you a little bit about the book of Lamentations. The book of Lamentations tells us a story of Jeremiah. Tells us a story of Jeremiah. Jeremiah had a broken heart for the people of Jerusalem. The Babylonians had taken the skilled laborers and the wealthy people out of this city. And the only people that were left were poor people. And Jeremiah noticed that in spite of the chastisement of God, these people refused to repent. So they became wicked and corrupt. And God sent a famine to this city. And if you read chapter 4, you read there that mothers ate their own children. And Jeremiah saw this, and it broke his heart. So Jeremiah writes in chapter 3, verse 48. Chapter 3, verse 48, the Bible says, "My eyes runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people." Verse 51, let's also read verse 51. "My eyes affected my heart because of all the daughters of my city." Jeremiah was affected for what he saw. Other people could pass by and see the sin, the sadness, the famine of this city. And it didn't bother them, but it did bother Jeremiah. So Jeremiah writes in chapter 1, let's go back to chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 12. Chapter 1, verse 12 of the book of Lamentations. The Bible says in chapter 1, verse 12, "Is it nothing to you all, ye that pass by? Is it nothing to you all, ye that pass by?" In other words, Jeremiah's trying to say here, don't you see what's going on? Don't you care? Let's pray. Let's pray this morning. Dear God, we thank you so much for this privilege of being in church today, Lord. Lord, thank you so much for this privilege of serving you, Lord. Lord, what an honor it is to open the Bible today and preach about you, Lord. Lord, just help me to be a blessing. Touch our hearts, Lord. We need to hear from you. In your name we pray. Amen. Lamentations chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, "Is it nothing to you all, ye that pass by?" Jeremiah is trying to say here, don't you see what's going on? Don't you care? Jeremiah had compassion for these people. Jeremiah cared for these people. So number one this morning, I would like to remind you that in your life, you had somebody that had compassion over you. You had a Jeremiah that had compassion over you. You had somebody that cared for your soul and for your life. Remember the story of Moses when Pharaoh wanted to kill all the babies and Moses' mother builds an ark and sets Moses there at the river. And then comes Pharaoh's daughter and picks up Moses. Exodus chapter 2 verse 6 says, "And when she had opened it, she saw the child and behold the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children." Somebody had compassion over Moses. Somebody cared for Moses. Somebody had compassion over my dad. My dad was going to be aborted in California. Family Owens from Illinois adopted my dad at birth and then took him to church. They cared for him at birth and also spiritually. And just like somebody cared for Moses, somebody had compassion over Moses, somebody had compassion over my dad, somebody had compassion over you. Romans 13, verse 8 says, Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Today you and I, we have a debt to pay. You have a debt to pay. I have a debt to pay. Because somebody cared for us. Somebody had compassion over us. Now it's our opportunity. Now it's our privilege to go out and have compassion over other people. Most of us, when we got saved, there was somebody that cared for you. Maybe it was a pastor. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was a neighbor. But there was somebody that took an interest in your soul and in your life. And since you got saved, there's probably a time when you were backslidden as a Christian. And a Jeremiah church saw that. And it broke their hearts. So they started praying for you. They started trying to encourage you to come back to church. And you're here today. And you're serving the Lord today. You're in church today partly because of a Jeremiah that cared for you. Because of a Jeremiah that had compassion over you. So number two this morning, I would like to challenge you. I would like to challenge you to spend your life, to spend the rest of your life caring for other people. You can say, Joshua, why? Why care for other people? Well, one good reason to care for others is because there's a real place called hell. Let's go to Revelations. Revelation chapter 20, there's a real place called hell. Revelation chapter 20. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstones where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. Did you know that hell is not temporary? People in Argentina believe that once they die, they go to a place called purgatory, and then the priest comes to your house, and he prays about 7 days, and that's how you get to heaven. That is not mentioned in the Bible. Hell is mentioned in the Bible. It's mentioned 19 times in the New Testament, 16 times by Jesus. And hell is an awful place, but God loved us so much that he doesn't want us to go there. The Word of God, we find that hell is a place of rejection, of isolation, reflection. You have a memory in hell. You can remember all those times that you should accept the Lord as your Savior. Hell is a place of affliction with fire where the worm doth not, a place of pain. Remember the story of the rich ruler, Luke chapter 16. This rich man that goes to hell, had money, had everything, and ended up in hell. And in hell, he had a burden for his brothers, for his five brothers. How many of us have family members today that are not saved? I think we all have, right? We all have somebody in our family that are not saved. But this man had to go to hell to get a burden for his family. We need to find out how awful is hell before we get a burden for our family or for other people that are lost. This man in hell, he wanted somebody to go to his family, to his five brothers, and tell them about Jesus. There's probably somebody right now in hell asking for somebody to go, and not only to their family, but to their cities and to their countries, and tell them about Jesus. You know why? Because they can come out of hell, and they can send someone. But they're asking for somebody to go. And I was thinking that so many times we spend time with family members, and you know, we sit across, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners, and we sit across family members that are not saved. We don't do anything. We don't talk about the Lord. That daughter, that sister, that mother sitting right across that table could be on his way to hell. We say nothing. We're ashamed of talking about the Lord. Even people in hell don't want people going there. That's how awful it is. And the sad thing is that I know about hell, but I'm not concerned about people that are lost. And that's why we spend our money the way we do. We spend our lives the way we do. We just focus our lives on this earth. And let me share with you a quick example of a person that focused his life on this earth. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Here we have the story of the rich fool. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 19. Luke chapter 12, verse 19. The Bible says, in verse 19, "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God." If you want to read the rest of the story, it is a really, really good story. But here we see a man that had money, had everything in this earth. And God called this man a fool. Now, God did not call this man a fool because this man had money. God did not call this man a fool because he had material possessions. God did not call this man a fool because he had a prosperous life. God called this man a fool because this man never stopped to think about eternity. His focus, his life, his motivation was on this earth, on the things of this life. And God called this man a fool. And the truth is, we all care, but we care about the wrong things. You know, we care about making money. We care about having material possessions. We care about sports and so many things. And I'm not saying these things are wrong, but when you focus your entire life on these things, that when it becomes wrong. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 21 says, "And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain." You know, we strive on this earth doing things. We strive here doing things to enjoy this life, not knowing if we're going to live tomorrow. In fact, today, we're a day closer to dying than yesterday. And we still live for this earth. And we still live for the tangible things of this life. And we still live for the things that we can buy and touch and see and have in this earth. But the Bible says we should be living for something else. Let's go to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. This is what we should be living for. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. The Bible says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." That's where we're supposed to lay our treasures, in heaven. We're supposed to invest our money, our time, our life in heaven. The verse continues, "Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there where your heart also be also." And also, let's not forget how valuable our souls to God, to such an extent that He sent His only Son to die on the cross for souls. What value are you giving to souls today? What value are you giving to people today? What value are we giving to souls today? The Bible says that whatever we do in this earth is going to determine our heavenly rewards. And there's only one thing that's worth your time, your life, your money, your concern, and that is other people and other souls. You know, the highest point of your life won't be honors that people have given you or material possessions that you obtain or own. The highest point of your life is going to be those memories of how God has used you to tell somebody about Him. I remember going out soul winning, and I was in this neighborhood, and we were going house to house, and I saw this man that was working in his garden, and I stopped to talk to this man, Jose. And I started talking about the Lord, and Jose got mad, and he said, I don't want to know anything about the Lord. Jose said, my wife left me. My daughters left me. Nobody cares for me. So keep going. That day I continued walking. And while I was walking, the Lord touched my heart.
to care for this man. So every Saturday after soul winning, I would go and visit Jose, even though he didn't want to know anything about the Lord. I would go there and we would talk about sports. We'd talk about politics. Jose would fix a meal for me every Saturday. We would eat together. And one Saturday, we started talking about the Lord. Amen? And Jose accepted the Lord as a Savior. And Jose today is in our church. He's one of our most faithful members in church. You know, when you look back in your life, the most important time of your life is going to be when you had a broken heart for people. For somebody that was lost, for somebody that needed to hear about Jesus. You know, the most important quality of a Christian is not how much knowledge you have, how much talent you have. The most important quality of a Christian is if you have a broken heart for people out there that are lost, they're on their way to hell. We wanted to start a church in a small town called Chiquigasta, and to get to Chiquigasta, you had to drive about an hour and a half, and then you would turn left in this dirt road, and you know, this dirt road destroyed my car in about 2 months. I had to replace everything in my car, like shocks and tires, just about everything. But once I got to this town, I saw 8,000 people that were isolated, that nobody cared for, not even the government. They were riding horses. They were drinking water out of a well. And we started going out soul winning in this town. And I talked to a lady about the Lord, and she accepted the Lord as her Savior. And I told her that we wanted to start a church in this town. And this lady got so excited. She said, "Joshua, we need a church in this city. There's a Catholic church right downtown. There's not a church that's preaching what you just told me." That day, the Lord touched my heart to start churches in Argentina. You know, there's cities that have 100,000 people, 500,000 people. And then you have cities with 8,000 people without a single church preaching the gospel. This world is just crying out for somebody that would care for them. There's so many people out there that nobody cares for. We need to go out there and look for these people and tell them about Christ. You know, in the Word of God, we find people that cared for other people. A good example of this is Paul. Remember Paul in Romans chapter 9, Paul said that he was willing to go to hell so that others could get to hear about Jesus. We need more people like Paul today. They're willing to sacrifice their lives so that other people could get to hear about Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel, is that they might be saved." Paul's desire, Paul's prayer, was that people would get saved. Is that our prayer today, that people would get saved here, in this city, in this state, in our country? Is that our prayer today? I hope that is our prayer. But you know, we can talk about missionaries like Hudson Taylor, that at one point had 1,200 missionaries in China. This man loved his country, loved people. David Livingston walked 29,000 miles into the jungle preaching the Word of God. These men cared for other people. And I thank the Lord that I was able to grow up in Argentina, but it's just sad. It's sad to see how the devil and sin has destroyed the country of Argentina. Everywhere you go to, there's kids begging for money to do drugs. And if they also beg for their parents so that they can do drugs too. And if they don't get enough money, they get beaten up by their parents. All over our city, there's kids, 8, 9, 10 years old, doing drugs out in public in our city. 10 to 15 people die every week in our city. 10 to 15 people that are dying and going to hell because of robbery, because of theft. And they need somebody that would come and tell them about Jesus Christ. You know what the people need in Argentina? You know what the people need in the States? You know what's going to change this country? It's not a president. It's not politics. It's the Lord and people getting saved. That's what we need today. That's what's going to change the United States. But you know what they need? You know what the city needs? The state needs? They need compassion. They need somebody that would come with God's compassion. Compassion is a desire, a response to the needs of the people. It's more than feeling sorry, because when you feel sorry, you don't do anything. But compassion should move you to action. And a perfect example of compassion in action is Jesus. Let's go to Matthew. Let me share with you Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Let me share with you Jesus, that perfect example of compassion in action. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, the Bible says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Jesus sees this group of Jewish people, and at that time, he feels compassion for them. And he uses that phrase, like sheep having no shepherd. And that's what moved Jesus' heart. It was compassion. Compassion was like an engine that would move Jesus to care for the people, to feed the people, to preach to the people, to heal the people. He did it all out of compassion. And he also had compassion for you and for me. And he came to this earth to die on the cross for our sins out of compassion. Let me share with you another verse. Let's go to Matthew 15, 32. Matthew 15, 32, the feeding of 4,000 men, not counting women and children. Matthew 15, 32. The Bible says in Matthew 15, 32, "Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitudes, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way." The multiplication of the bread, the feeding of 4,000 men, not counting women and children. And this story, it was not moved to make a show. It was not moved because the people had faith that Jesus could multiply the fish and the bread. It was moved only because Jesus had compassion over the people. And dear brother, dear sister, today, I'd like to remind you, so many times we feel all alone in our lives. We feel like nobody sees our trials. Nobody sees what we're going through. Nobody sees our tears. But let me remind you today that God sees them. God sees your trials. God sees your illness, your loneliness, your tears. And God has compassion over you. So now it's our turn. It's our opportunity. It's our privilege to go out and have compassion over others. Compassion will change your life. Compassion will make a difference. If you're discouraged today, if you're going through trials in your life, if you're going through depression, today I would like to encourage you to go out and tell somebody about Jesus. Go out and have compassion over others. It will change your life. Before I left Argentina, I had this young man come up to me, and he told me his testimony of how his soccer coach abused him as a child. This young man had so much hate in his heart. He would go all around town, and he would shoot people. He would do all kinds of drugs. He would rob people. And he told me, "Joshua, I did that because I wanted everybody to feel the same way I felt." Well, this young man one day got saved, amen, and started coming to church. And in church, he found a group of people that cared for him. He found a group of people that had compassion over him. And that hate was turned into love. Today, he's serving our church. He cleans the auditorium every Sunday. He helps in our Sunday school, Sunday mornings. We bring kids from all over the city. We feed them, and we give them the gospel. And he's helping in those ministries. Somebody cared for him. Now he is caring for somebody else. He's having compassion for others. 2,600 years ago, Jeremiah walked the streets of Jerusalem, and he saw the city. Jeremiah saw the city. He saw the sin, the sadness, the famine. Jeremiah saw everything that was going on in this city. And Jeremiah looked around, and nobody cared. And Jeremiah said, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by?" In closing of this message, I'd like to ask you today, where's your heart today? Where is your heart? Is your heart in the tangible things of this life? In the things that we can see and touch and buy and have? Or is your heart in that family member that doesn't know Jesus? And that co-worker that's on his way to heaven? Where's your heart today? What group of people you care for? You know, there's people in this city that if you had compassion for them, if you had a love, a burden, compassion, they would get saved. And we can do great things for the Lord. Let's go to one last verse. Let's go to Jude verse 22. Jude verse 22, the Bible says, "And of some have compassion, making a difference. And of some have compassion, making a difference." Compassion will change your life. Compassion will make a difference. Today, I wanted to preach this message because this is what the country needs. The country today needs people that are saved. People that their lives are changed. And I wanted to encourage you. I wanted to encourage you today in this coming week when we go into our daily lives, into your jobs, into your business. When you stop at that Walmart, that gas station, that you would stop for a minute and you would see the people and that you would have compassion for them. There's a lot of people here. There's a lot of people where you live, where you work, that are dying and going to hell. And they need one person. They need one person that would have compassion for them. They need one person that would stop and tell them about Jesus Christ. And that's what's going to change this country. Let's pray tonight. Dear God, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for having compassion towards us, Lord. He came to this earth to die on the cross for my sins. For our sins, Lord. Lord, help us. Help us to have compassion over our family members that don't know you. Help us to have compassion over our co-workers, over the city, over the state, over our country, Lord.